In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Jesus said, take away the stone. And the people around said, that's probably not going to be a good idea. He said, take away the stone. And what happened was life was revealed in a way that people had not anticipated. A total surprise happens. Jesus, taking away a stone, restores a man to life. This is All Saints Sunday. We've had a lot going on down here at St. Paul's that y'all have already missed. We had 10 baptisms at 9 o'clock. Count that, 10. They got the Cliff Notes version of this sermon. They said two wonderful things happened. 10 new Christians and a short sermon. You, however, were not there. All Saints Sunday, that's Sunday where we remember those who've gone before, those little saints that did those acts of kindness that made our lives better, those big saints, those red letter saints, all the saints. Saints are people who have a part in rolling away stones so that life can emerge. Busy time in our life, is it not? I don't know when it's been busier or wilder or crazier. It's also the Sunday before the midterm elections. You may now exhale. I'm not going to preach about that. I believe that for Christians, this statement from the eminent theologian Reinhold Niebuhr is pertinent. Man's capacity for justice makes democracy possible. But man's inclination to injustice makes democracy necessary. And so it is that Christians who live in a democracy have a responsibility to participate in it. Vote. What a wonderful day to have baptisms. Today we brought into Christ Church new folks to confess the name of Jesus Christ. And because it's All Saints Sunday, we connect all that in a special way with those saints who've gone before. Those who've been a part of our lives. We remember as if remembering, joining back. So we rejoin, we rejoice, we remember those saints. Now I'm going to talk about baptism today. It's key. It's key to who we are. It's key to what we are. It's key to what we're about. Now it's easy to think about baptism as being about those who are being baptized. But that's not so. It's about all of us, including any who might be being initiated into the Christian community. As you will soon discover, because on All Saints Sunday, we are told to renew our baptismal covenant. You will have the opportunity to do that in a few minutes. So I thought I'd go through that with you. Because you have, in popular vernacular, a skin in this game. You see, at every baptism, those in attendance are expected to renew their own baptismal promises. And what we're going to do is very briefly run through those so you can understand and clarify a few details about what it is you are promising to do. By the way, your answer to these promises, they're put to you in question form, is, I will with God's help. My guess is that if we think about what these promises mean, it will become clear that we need all the help we can get. Number one, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? What does it mean? It means that you will promise to be a part of a worshiping community, a fellowship, think church, and that you will engage in the learning of the faith, the apostles' teaching. And you will join with others in prayers for that community and for that world that you are in, and that you will participate in the sacraments of the church. That's what it means. Number two, will you persevere in resisting evil? And whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord. He must have known y'all were going to be here, because it says, it doesn't say if you should ever sin, it just says you will sin. So whenever you fall into sin, sin is separation. It is separation from God and others and creation. It's a distortion of our relationship. The implication of this promise is this, that you're going to live a life of self-examination and awareness in such a way that when you know you have sinned, you have participated in that separation with you and others or God, that you will ask for forgiveness, make amends, in some cases, make restitution. Number three, will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ? In this case, example might be more important than word, but words are important. It is about the good news of God in Christ. But you will be known more for what you've done, probably, than what people remember you said. But talking about proclaiming, we get nervous at that. Here's how it works. How has the good news of God in Christ been for you? How's that impacted your life? Have you known, have you felt that redemptive love? Have you felt love when you knew you didn't feel like you deserved any love, but you got the love anyway? Can you remember how that felt? Well, can you share that with somebody else? And can you keep the earpiece on your ear and talk through it? Here's how simple that can be. When I reached a point in my own where my own devices no longer worked, I gave up and I said, God, help me. And you know what? When I did that every day, my life got better. That's how you can share good news. Number four, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? Can you look for Christ in the life of others? Jesus gives us a clear example of how to go about this in one of the Gospels. He says, I was hungry, and you fed me, and I was in jail, and you visited me. I was sick, you cared for me. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And the folks with him said, well, Lord, we don't remember doing that for you. When did we do that for you? And he said, when you've done it for the least of these, you have done it to me. Be on the lookout in your life for the least of these, because when you find them, Jesus is in the neighborhood. Number five, will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Are we to have a debate about what all means? Do we have to have a debate and a discussion about every? This promise means that you will strive to be a peacemaker. This promise means that you think everybody deserves justice. It means that every person who might cross your path deserves to be treated with dignity and respect, regardless of their race, their religion, their sexual orientation, their identity, their nationality, or their legal status. If you are looking for guidelines about how to live as a Christian, all you have to do is turn to page 392 in your Book of Common Prayer. How many of you have your own Book of Common Prayer? Show of hands. Okay. Well, I suggest if you don't have one, you steal one from us. And you go to page 392 and tear that sucker out and tape it to your mirror. And every day you read it and you say, I will with God's help. And you pray for guidance and insight. And you ask God every day, how am I doing, God? And then sit quietly for 5 minutes. Just do that every day till you get an answer. And you will get one. If you have any questions about any of this, call Dixon, Darby, or Sarah. I want to close with three prayers which I think can be helpful, that you also can pray. The first one I thought of, the other two I borrowed. God, will you please be the only thing that comes between me and others, so we can see each other through you? God, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me. And to quote Reinhold Niebuhr again, God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen.